Sorry, no job's open now. Try us again later on.
Like to help you, buddy, but we're full up.
No references? Sorry. Can't use you.
Nothing doing, mister. I'm awfully sorry, but you've got a prison record.
Please give me a break, mister. I haven't eaten for 3 days. I'll take any kind of work. I just want to get on my feet again.
Hey, listen, you're an ex-con. We can't use men like you. Goodbye.
Listen, mister. Listen to me. I'm through with the racket. Honest I am. Listen to me, will you? All I want is a chance to come back.
And you're going to get that chance tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, San Quentin Penitentiary, where this broadcast is originating, is located on the northern shores of San Francisco Bay. Through its gates, a small group of men soon hope to pass, returning to a world they once lost, your world and mine. One fervent prayer is on their lips, a prayer that they may find the opportunity somewhere to make good and resume their place alongside you and me as useful citizens. Their fate is in your hands, Mr. and Mrs. America, because they have already demonstrated to the prison authorities that their integrity has been restored, and they are worthy of this opportunity, this chance to come back. And so tonight, Lever Brothers, who have given America the world's finest health soap, Life Boy, are happy and proud to step forward once more and give each of these men, as their first job, an appearance on this broadcast, and a $25 paycheck for doing so. And we sincerely hope by the time this broadcast is over, we will have received enough telegrams from business firms throughout the land offering help that we will be able to send each of these men to their first steady job and their real chance to come back. And now, before presenting Warden Clayton Donahue of San Quentin, listen. Prison Orchestra playing Say When. We'll be right back. It now affords me great pleasure to bring to the microphone the man who has, in the short space of a year's time, completely revolutionized the modern-day theories for operation of penal institutes. A man whose plans, after only a short period of operation, have done away with prison riots, supplanted hatred with friendship, and changed irony to industry. Warden Clayton T. Donahue of San Quentin. Good evening, Warden.
Thank you, Mr. Dunning, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Warden Donahue, before continuing with the program, I'd like to engage you in a short interview, if you will.
That's quite agreeable with me. Go ahead, please.
There's been quite a furor of public discussion since this program took to the air. One question in particular has been raised, and that is the advisability of publicizing the fact that a man with a prison record is seeking to place himself again in the ranks of the American public.
I'm very glad you brought this up. In the first place, the majority of people have a very distorted idea of what the word parole convict or ex-convict really means. The mere mention of these words invariably strikes fear and abhorrence in the mind of the average person. They visualize some sort of ferocious, bestial character whose every thought, waking or sleeping, is to kill, rob, or otherwise destroy.
Well?
Yes, I know what you're thinking. And there are some cases with big shot or gunman complexes. But those men represent only a very small percentage of the convicted men throughout the country. And don't forget for one single moment that such types will never be allowed on this program. By far, the greatest majority of convicts are paying for crimes which were the result of dictates of a momentarily sick mind.
Well, by sick you mean distressed or temporarily unbalanced?
Exactly. And in many cases, we might all of us well say, but for the goodness of God, there stand I. Some fellow, for example, who thoughtlessly jumped in his car while under the influence of alcohol and blindly ended up in a collision, killing some innocent person. He's no murderer. His mind is ill, and he certainly needs discipline and plenty of it.
And he gets it in the penitentiary.
Absolutely. And when, as a prisoner, he's had the fact burned indelibly into his mind that he's no privileged character, that his responsibility to his fellow man is just as great as anyone else's, that man is ready and entitled to return to everyday life.
And the chances are he'll be a better citizen than a lot of us who have never gotten into trouble.
Right. Nobody has to tell him what'll happen if he doesn't respect other people's rights. He knows from personal experience.
I gather you're pretty tough on the boys?
Well, it isn't exactly a Sunday school picnic or a vacation resort. The prisoners are more or less able to govern the treatment they will receive by their own actions. If they want to get tough, we can get severe too. On the other hand, if they show the slightest willingness to cooperate, we more than meet them halfway. We don't want to keep men in prison. It's an expensive burden on the taxpayers. We want to get them straightened out and back into useful life, but not until they're ready.
Well, Warden, just what do you mean by ready?
The same thing a doctor means when he says a patient's cured. And that is just about what you might call the American prison system, a means of cure, not punishment. The law court that sentences a man is the doctor. The prison is the hospital, and we wardens are the nurses. When the patient shows signs of getting worse, we call in the doctors again, and if necessary, change their medicine. When they show signs of improvement, we call a consultation of the various prison and parole boards, and in many cases discontinue treatment entirely and discharge the patient as cured. Some of them we order to report periodically for examination for a few years, just to make sure our diagnosis has been correct.
Well, you mentioned changes of medicine and treatment, Warden Donahue. What are some of these prescriptions?
Well, for example, we have mental activities of an uplifting nature, such as educational improvement, vocational training, talent activities. Here, for example, is one field of endeavor used to occupy their minds. Listen to our quartet as they sing In the Evening by the Moonlight.
I'd like to know what a tiny man
Those men sang like their hearts were truly in it.
The men have been looking forward to this broadcast ever since you contacted the prison 2 months ago and gave us this date to appear. You know, they don't get an opportunity to be heard by outsiders as a rule, and this is really an occasion.
Well, don't forget that it's an occasion for Lever Brothers, too. As a matter of fact, this series of broadcasts adds a new meaning to the word Life Boy. Not only is Life Boy synonymous with the world's finest health soap, but the response of the American public in purchasing it makes it possible for Lever Brothers to create a Life Boy for the help of men and women about to re-enter public life. And that brings us to the most important part of this broadcast. Warden Donahue, as I understand it, there are 14 men eligible to leave San Quentin on parole at this time, providing they can get a job. Is that correct?
It is.
Well, what is the difference between parole and discharge?
Discharge means that a man has served the full term of his sentence and is therefore paid up in his debt to society as prescribed by the law.
And the parole?
Parole is released to freedom in advance of the expiration of a convict sentence. It constitutes a reward for model behavior and is only granted where the parole board feels that the history of the case and the man's behavior during imprisonment definitely show him to be restored to normal character and honest responsibility.
Well, in other words, the man who comes out with a full discharge is not too desirable a character.
That's right. We cannot hold him any longer than his sentence, so out he goes. But either his crime was so serious that he was denied eligibility for parole, or else he made no attempt to cooperate with us in the job of straightening him out.
Well, one might say, then, that the expression, life is what you make it, goes doubly strong in prison.
Precisely, Mr. Dunning.
All right, let's get down to cases. We'll have time in this broadcast to interview three of these paroled men. Will you please single out the three who have the finest records and bring them to the microphone one at a time?
With pleasure. Harold Waters, step forward, please. This chap has served only 3 years and 7 months of his sentence. He's been a model prisoner and really earned his right to parole. Harold? This is an unusual way to try and get out of prison, isn't it? Going on a nationwide broadcast.
It certainly is, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity.
Well, Harold, it's the purpose of our sponsor to try and help you and the rest of the parole candidates here to land a steady job. This broadcast is your first, and you'll receive a paycheck for $25 when it's over. But it's necessary to get you a steady position so that you can take advantage of your parole. Will you please describe yourself to the audience? Also a little of your history and qualifications?
Yes, sir. My name's Harold Andrew Walters. I'm 33 years of age, and I weigh about 170 pounds. I'm 5 feet 10 inches tall.
Any relatives?
Yes, I have a wife and a small son.
Where are they?
They're living in Oregon at present.
Do they plan to rejoin you when you're released?
Oh, yes, sir. They've been down to visit me every month.
Well, for what offense were you committed?
Embezzlement. I worked for a finance company and used some of the money to play the stock market on the side.
And it didn't work?
I'll say it didn't.
Well, candidly speaking, that's not an awfully good background to paint when you're trying to interest someone in giving you a new job.
Mr. Dunning, after what I've been through, disgrace for my family and me, loss of what little we did have of our own, and almost 4 years of imprisonment, there isn't enough money in the whole world to justify it. All I want is a chance. You don't have to worry about me, ever.
I think you can rely on him, Mr. Dunning.
Well, you certainly ought to know, Wharton, if anyone does. So there you are, Mr. and Mrs. Public.
Harold Andrew Walters stands before you. A high school and business college training, a family waiting for him patiently, and a fine record of behavior while paying his penalty in San Quentin. His hand is outstretched to you, asking for a chance to come back. It is our hope that before this broadcast is finished, some gracious American firm will have telegraphed their offer to give him that chance. No names will be announced. Offers will be held strictly confidential, and all negotiations will be handled by the official parole board. We will, however, announce the number of responses received by the end of this program, and on our next broadcast, we'll advise our listeners as to how many of these 14 candidates got their chance to come back. A steady job. And now then, Mr. Donahue, before interviewing our next candidate, how about some fine music?
Fine. The orchestra's all ready, and here is one of the boys to sing. That's good enough for me.
Miss something along the way. The more you hurry, the more you worry. Just take your time, I say. I've never seen any good in money. I'm no economist, I agree. But try to pay for a day that's sunny, and you'll find out that it's free. I sing away sorrow, I dance away care. What happens on the morrow isn't my affair. I know go-getters think that I'm crazy. I'm irresponsible, that may be. But if they're right, you can call me lazy. That's good enough for me.
You really have some talent over here, Mr. Donahue. Now, who's our next parole candidate? Bring him to the microphone, will you?
He's already at the microphone.
He is? Why, well, just a moment. You don't mean this chap that just sang.
That's the one. Parole candidate Lester Hawkins.
Well, I am surprised. Lester, with a voice like that, you certainly are a shining example of the traditional bird in a gilded cage.
I guess you're right, Mr. Dunning.
Only this time, the cage isn't gilded.
Yes, and this bird is a little tarnished himself.
Well, I see what you mean, Lester. Well, just how bad is that tarnish?
There's only a little bit on the surface now, and that'll soon come off when he's able to rub shoulders with the outside world again.
Well, that's what Lever Brothers have sent us here for, to do a little cleansing work. Lifebuoy soap does the trick for our bodies, Rinso for our clothes, and now this program for our people. Lester, let's have your story.
Well, I'm 38 years old, and I'm 6 feet tall, and I weigh about 180 pounds.
And family?
None now. My mother died just after I was sent here 2 years ago.
Well, what charges were you convicted on?
Receiving and selling stolen property. I had an auto-wrecking business down south in this city.
Specific names or locations, please. We reserve that information only for your next employer.
I see. Thank you, sir. Well, anyhow, things were going along pretty fair when a couple of guys started coming in every few days with used parts and accessories and radios and selling them to me at an awful cheap price. I figured there was something funny going on, but with the prices I got the stuff for, I was cleaning up. And after a while, I got so I didn't care. Finally, one of them got caught, confessed, and then the police picked up the whole gang.
And you were the fence for the deal?
That's right. They pulled me in a week later.
Well, what about your auto wrecking business?
Well, by the time the insurance companies got through reclaiming stolen parts, there wasn't any business left.
Well, Lester, suppose you are released. It takes capital to operate a wrecking business. You're in no position to manage that.
Mr. Dunning, the mere sight of even a hubcap sends chills up and down my back. I couldn't go into that business again. Those nights of restlessness, wondering whether the cops were coming in the next morning, finagling the books to try and cover up and all that. It's not worth it. Money can buy some things, but it can't buy peace of mind when you're doing wrong.
Well, what kind of work can you do other than that?
I personally would recommend him very highly for a physical culture trainer. He's assisted in our athletic program for the past year and a half and has done a fine job at conditioning the men for the various sports such as baseball and track.
I'd like very much to go in for that work, Mr. Dunning. You know, one of those athletic clubs where they have massage rooms and weightlifting and so on? I've reconditioned myself physically as well as mentally, and I'd like to help others.
He's a good man, Mr. Dunning. He has a fine record and needs outside help now. He has no relatives to help get him work, and we don't like to hold up paroles for such men.
And without a job, a satisfactory job from the standpoint of the parole board, he'll have to stay here for his full term, good behavior or not.
That's it.
Well, doesn't that tend to sour a man after he's tried to make amends?
It's bound to. Not that they'll necessarily go back to crime, but it does take the heart out of them.
Well, here goes the call for a job somewhere for Lester Hawkins. Good at physical culture training, and glad to get any kind of honest work approved by the parole board. Mr. and Mrs. America, there's a telegraph office near you. Let's have those wires. And remember, all communications will be kept strictly confidential. Music maestro, the San Quentin Quartet once again.
Tell me, what's then that Sunday morning, what then that Sunday morning, what then that Sunday morning band. Tell me, what then that Sunday morning, what band that Sunday morning, what band that Sunday morning band. There's one, there's two, there's three little angels, there's four, there's five, there's six little angels, there's seven, there's eight, there's nine little angels, there's ten little angels in the band. Tell me, what band that Sunday morning, what band that Sunday morning, what band that Sunday morning band. There's 11, there's 12, there's 13 little angels, there's 14, 15, 16 little angels, there's 17, 18, 19 little angels, there's 20 little angels in the band. Tell me, what band that Sunday morning, what band that Sunday morning, what band that Sunday morning band. 21, 22, 23 little angels, 24, 25, 26 little angels, 27, 28, 29 little angels, there's 30 little angels in the band. Tell me, what band that Sunday morning, what band that Sunday morning, what band that Sunday morning band. Tell me, what band that Sunday morning, what band that Sunday morning, what band that Sunday morning band.
Warden Donahue, in that last interview, the candidate referred to the vocational training he'd received here. Will you tell us more about that?
Well, I think our third parole candidate here will have something to say along that line. George Winters, will you step forward, please?
Good evening, George.
Good evening, Mr. Dunning.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's a fine-looking chap. I'd say about 28 years old, 5 feet 10 inches tall, weighing about 160 pounds. How close is that, George?
Well, it's just about right on the height and weight, but I'm only 26, sir.
Why were you sent here?
Manslaughter.
Manslaughter?
Yes, sir. I was one of those wise guys. I thought it was smart to get tight, and I kept on until I drank myself out of my job and finally my wife and my home. Then one night, when I was really liquored up, I smashed into another car and killed two people. If you don't mind, I'd rather not talk about it anymore.
Well, I can understand how you feel.
I was a wreck when they sent me up here. None of my family came near me during the trial. I didn't care whether I lived or died.
Yes?
Well, finally, after about 6 months, my wife wrote to me, and then she brought my father and mother to visit me. That's when my whole outlook sort of changed. I made up my mind that with them sticking by me, I'd be man enough to try and amount to something.
Well, what did you do?
Well, I began to study then.
Mm-hmm. Study?
Yes, sir. They gave him a choice of courses, carpentering and machine shop, welding, well, practically all the trades, or even any business course I wanted.
Well, what did you select?
Public accounting. That's turned out pretty fine. For the past 2 years, they've had me in the administration office handling most of the detail work.
And he's done an excellent job of it, Mr. Dunning.
Well, all right. And there you are, radio listeners. George Winters, Lester Hawkins, Harold Walters. Three of the 14 candidates who are with us tonight. All of them with equally fine records of rehabilitation as verified by the close examination of the State Parole Board. These men came here to pay penalties for crimes against society. Crimes which would never have been committed had they been given the right kind of training in their earlier life. Training which they now have, voluntarily sought and received because they want to come back. This time as useful American citizens. Warden Donahue, I feel the people of this country owe you and your board of prison directors a huge debt of gratitude for the magnificent work you have accomplished here at San Quentin. Tranquility, where unrest once reigned. Intelligence, where indifference prevailed. You men have worked hard. And to see, standing before you each week, such a group of parole candidates salvaged from broken minds and spirits must make you feel very, very proud.
Not proud, Mr. Dunning. Grateful. Grateful for the opportunity to extend a helping hand to other human beings who happen to be less fortunate than ourselves.
Hey, Warden Donahue, I have just been handed a notice from the switchboard that we have already received 120 telegrams from the American firms willing to consider employing some of these men, and more wires are still coming in.
That's really grand news. These communications will be turned over to our State Parole Board immediately, and the board will contact these firms and go into details with them.
Well, this really calls for music. Let's hear from the San Quentin Orchestra once again.
Numbers I've got by the dozens, everyone's uncle and cousin, but I can't live without buzzing. I've got a sweetie I know there, someone who sets me aglow there, gives me the sweetness of love there. We never say, how are you, and seldom say, what's new. Instead we start and end each call with baby confidentially, I love you. Maybe it sounds a bit funny when I'm away from my honey. Here's what I do with my money.